Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Full show ahead. Looking forward to this one. By the time we're done with this hour, we're going to talk with Edgar Ricaud. We're going to actually hear some live singing in studio. U of A alum fuses mariachi, pop, and opera to connect the dots of his upbringing. He'll be live in studio. I think one of the few times we've done live music in studio. We do it probably once every 2 years. So this is going to be a treat. But to get us most of the way there, in studio with us now is Val Romero, independent candidate running for the Tucson City Council in Ward 6 for a get-to-meet-ya candidate interview for this crazy journey you've undertaken. Mr. Romero, good to see you.
Aloha, Zach. How are you doing today?
Doing good. We go a ways back. Met each other.
I think we found out 4 years ago.
We were recounting our history, and we felt like we went through the Marvel blip, as you put it. We blinked, and 4 or 5 years went by. We met each other through a mentoring program with the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. and we've talked business and shop. And now you're running for city council.
Yeah, I know. 4 years ago, who would have thought?
Who would have thought? So let's start there. I'd love to talk some key issues with you. There's a lot on the city's plate. Mm-hmm. A lot that should you sit in the seat, you'll have to deal with. But let's start there. What got you into this race, and why as an independent? Why not a Republican or a Democrat? Why as an independent? There are no Republicans running.
Correct.
There are three Democrats running: Andres Portela, Miranda Schubert, and incumbent Steve Kozacik. Why an independent? Why you? Why run for this seat?
So the independent question's the most common question. I've been an independent since 2001. So I did vote for Ross Perot. So,
all right.
For anybody that remembers that,
I've met my first Ross Perot voter. That's exciting.
So, again, I'm running. I think personally, the leadership of our mayor and council in the city of Tucson is not doing a very good job, in my opinion. The division that the mayor and council is creating has been more than I've ever seen in my life. And I'm a Tucson native. I've been here all my life. I've seen the ups and downs. I'm a business owner first. So that's kind of where my view of the city is. I've got a granddaughter. She's 4 years old. And the daughter, she's 26 years old. And so I want to see the future of our city keep a positive, vibrant feel like I had when I was growing up. Tucson's not a divided city. We are pretty much a very unified city, but I've been seeing a lot of that divide happen, and that's not how Tucson is. Tucson loves each other. We're a community. We're a strong people. It doesn't matter what your viewpoints are, things. We have conversations. We communicate. We work together as a community, and we do what's best for Tucson.
With Val Romero this morning, if you joined in the last minute or two, independent candidate for Ward 6. I've got a short laundry list of things I'd love to get your thoughts on, but if you had to name the top three issues that require, as you said, a unified front, good leadership in the community, what are your top three issues that you want to get to work solving day one in that seat, Val Romero?
Prioritize public safety in our community, and that includes better funding for the Tucson Police Department. That is key, number one. Number two is focus on Tucson's infrastructure. That includes our street. That includes infill. That includes improving vacant lots and vacant properties that are here in the city of Tucson. And then also committed to supporting the local Tucson business community. Because with that support of the Tucson business community, that money stays here in Tucson, and it also creates jobs, and it's good for the city of Tucson, especially local business. Those are my three things. There's lots of issues, but those are my top.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'd love to get into a few of those. Let's start with public safety. Mm-hmm. In the second segment, you know, I think affordable housing is a big one. And then also, how do we incentivize and create economic growth? I think I'd love to dive into that with you. But the question I've been asking actually all of the council candidates that we just started on the show, getting back into those races, I've interviewed a few city council candidates. And here's the question I've asked both of them. So I'll ask you, what is the magic number of men and women who are deployable in our police department. Let's talk public safety, not TFD, but TPD. We know that we are on track to getting into the low 700s if the trend continues. We don't have enough officers that are being trained, and more officers than that who are leaving. What's the magic number to you?
So, yes, and I heard you when you had Andres and Juan on your show, and I heard the magic number. So I wanted to do a little research on this magic number.
See, we didn't talk before the show, but if you're a candidate and you listen to this show, you'll be ready for my questions. At least I'm consistent.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
So I hope you have an answer.
I do. So I was looking, doing some research, a lot of it from the Arizona Daily Star and then other practices by authorities online. So there was an article on February 13, 2021. So TPD has a budget for 885 sworn and deployable officers. As of date, that article, there were 813 sworn officers, but only 764 are deplorable, a deficit of 121 officers that are able to go on out there. So that 885 is what the budget allows for. So if we were at that budget, it looked like, when I was researching other things, looks like the decline started back in 2018. So this isn't a new thing. It's just getting worse and worse. And one of the things that was also mentioned in the article was there's a lack of perceived support from elected officials. And with that happening, why would someone that feels that they're underpaid, you know, they were talking about City of Tucson is 13% paid less than other similar organizations for police office in around the state of Arizona. So why would someone want to stay here when they can go somewhere where they're appreciated? And I think that's what we need to do as a City of Tucson. Our leadership has to stand up for our police department, find out what we have to do to work together to get them the pay that they need to protect our streets, because that's part of the public safety aspect. If you don't feel safe and you call and 6 hours later, a police department, someone reaches out to you, that's way too long. Right now, they're only doing level one and level two calls. So if you got a level three, someone's broke into your car, someone stole your car, send a report. But the officers are not coming out over there. Right. We need to change that. And then the 911 reaction rate, that has to increase as well, too. It starts internally. If we're going to have public safety, affordable housing, all these other things, it's going to start with a public safety first.
Yeah, I was looking at the preliminary budget proposal the city manager is going to present to the mayor and council today. It's a busy mayor and council meeting today. We covered it a bit yesterday on the show. But it looks like from preliminary numbers that the city manager is going to propose about the same number of funding collectively for the Tucson Police Department, a little over $160 million. I think my last follow-up question, then we'll take a break, would be if we're spending $160 million now, and we are looking at also a compensation plan just to kind of get to that 800 number that we are budgeted for. You know, I think Chief Magnus and the mayor and council, some members of the mayor and council would like to see that the deployable number get to 950. I've talked to some of our police officers. They'd like to see, 1,100 plus. Mm-hmm. There's some math around how many officers per 10,000, per 1,000 individuals. Where are you at on that spectrum? If we're at that number now, what would you want to see it grow to on the city council?
Looking at some of the research that I do, other cities that have similar populations and crime rate like that, it was looking in the 950 to 1,000 range is what I was noticing through my research.
Right. So that would be the number that you would be defining policy around.
Well, that would be, there's a lot more knowledgeable people out there. And I'm big on, if I don't have the right answers to do some research, if I can't do the research, let me find experts that can counsel me in the best practices that are needed. You know, like I said, we can throw out numbers, and if we throw out 1,000 people, 1,000 cops, but they're not doing what the city needs to be done, it needs to be adjusted. So I rely on my facts, my research, and expert counsel.
Got it. We're with Val Romero this morning. He's an independent candidate, been independent since 2001. Running for the city council seat in Ward 6, facing three Democrats. There will be one by the time you get to talk to one of those directly. That primary is in August. You're in it the whole way now.
Yes, sir.
We are talking about his vision, his platform for the city. When we come back, we'll talk some economic development and the big issue that has hit Tucson, affordable housing. It's really important, and the city is talking about it. We'll talk with Val Romero about it when we return here on 1030 The Voice. You're listening to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, and we'll be right back.
Radio and for the people of Tucson, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID, 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID, 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal Housing Opportunity.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios. Zach Yenser here, host of this Drive Time Hour of Tipping Point. In-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Joined live in studio. It's always a pleasure to talk to folks in studio. It's nice to see more and more of that coming back here in our safe and following procedure studios here in Tucson. Val Romero, independent candidate running for Ward 6, there are three Democrats, and we're going to figure out by August who that Democrat is that you will face as the independent, Val Romero. By the way, a listener texted that he also voted for Ross Perot, so thank you for opening those floodgates. I've now met two Ross Perot voters, so if you voted for Ross Perot, shoot me an email or text and we can talk about it. But Those are your independent bona fides. Val Romero, just if someone jumped in, voted for Ross Perot in 2001, you're an independent for sure. Val, I wanted to ask you another question I ask most candidates. Mm-hmm. I remember when I asked this question in 2019, I didn't get an answer I was happy with every time I asked it. And I think you can see the results in some regards. I asked every candidate, those who won, those who didn't in the primary. We talk about all the challenges the city faces. And we often talk about it in terms of we've got this pot of money. And we talk about that pot of money as if it can't change, as if it can't go up, as if it can't grow, that we can't grow revenue to solve more problems, that we're just working with this limited pie and it's just about how we carve it up and distribute it. My question has been, how do you grow the economy in Tucson? I've not gotten an answer I've been happy with. Maybe you can change that, Val Romero.
Well, first of all, grow the economy. Well, I think a lot has to do with financial responsibility, first of all, for the city. There's a lot of spending, I think, that can be cleaned up. We can work on different budgets as a business owner. If there's something that's not working and we're throwing money at it, there has to be a change and put this money towards other services that will benefit the company. It's all about return on investment. And I guess my process on going into as a city council person, I'm looking at this more as a business. If right now the city of Tucson is $1.3 billion in debt, we have an issue. And we only have $6 million to pay this debt that's coming on in. And this debt keeps getting growing bigger and bigger and bigger. We need to cut back with cutbacks in certain areas, whether it's staffing at different ward offices, how much money. There was something I had read that for a budget for the ward administration, right now for our population, we're paying $4.86 per capita for our population versus El Paso that has a higher population than us. They're paying only $1.9 per capita. You know, that's a lot of money that we could be saving as a city just by our ward administration. There's a way of looking at our budget and looking how to spend wiser. And then from there, we can utilize that money for other programs that are working.
Val Romero, you mentioned that we are in neighboring neighborhoods. I don't think that you live there now, but you're born in Barrio Hollywood, historical Chicano neighborhood on the west side. I'm in the neighborhood right next to yours, so we know the west side. The state of Arizona the other day had 15 days of housing supply in the entire state. If no new housing supply went in, and by that I mean someone wanted to sell their home or put a house on the market, the entire state had 15 days. In 15 days, there would not be one house available. Apartment, rental, housing, insane numbers. You know the challenges in some of these historical neighborhoods where the issue of housing and housing accessibility and affordability can often lead to conversations of gentrification and displacement. Ward 6 is often at the center of those conversations, so you're familiar in many ways. How do we solve the affordable housing crisis? It is a crisis. I use that word selectively. How do we solve the affordable housing crisis in the city of Tucson?
Well, there's been a lot of, price increase on a lot of things, as you mentioned, getting a home anymore, and then something that is affordable for people. The affordable housing isn't sexy. You know, no one really wants to dive into it because they have their preconceived ideas. Well, then, you know, what's going to happen to our neighborhoods and things of that nature? And unfortunately, that's, you know, not the way it should be looked at and approached. I believe there's a lot of vacant land in the city of Tucson, a lot of areas where the businesses are gone. You know, the city owns the land. If we incentivized builders to build affordable housing in certain areas, take over these areas that are not making any money, not creating any sales, you know, revenue for the city, you know, and the tax aspect of it, and create something that could be beneficial to the community and also the people that live within our community. There's a lot of properties. I know, you know, throughout the city, not just in certain wards, it's all over the city, but we need to have that in every part of the city, not just focus in an area. But if there's property that is not being developed, we need to produce incentives for builders because the infrastructure is there. We've got the gas, the electrical, the plumbing, things of that nature. We just need to get someone interested in building there and incentivize them so that they want to do something more for their community as well, too. And then now we're creating more of a tax base.
Speaking of tax base, one of the topics that's been coming up, and it may not be resolved, I don't know, it probably will before, if you should have the opportunity to sit in the Ward 6 seat, but speaking to annexation, incorporation, growth, this water issue, if you were on the council today, would you be in favor or not of differential water rates?
I would not be in favor of the differential in water rates. There has to be another option to do. I think... Yeah, so I'll just kind of stop there. No, I would not be in favor of that. I'm sure there's other things that we can do within a community as opposed to create a water war and then with the county, and now they want to raise the prices for wastewater. So it's we need to figure out a way to create more income, but I don't think that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Val Romero, maybe last question. I want to make sure we leave time here. Time is moving so quickly. To your website and how people who are wanting to get a hold of you can, want to support you, can. But, you know, one of the questions we often ask in this community is, how do we keep families here? How do we keep young people here? What does a Tucson look like that retains and attracts the next generation?
Oh, Tucson, retain our generation. I would love to see it. I know for me, my granddaughter, my daughter's here. She's invested in the community. She's a big part of my business. Same thing with my granddaughter. We just need to make it appealing with jobs that people will want to be here for, where it's can be affordable to live here. And right now, I don't see that we have the jobs, the industry, the draw that's wanting to keep people to come to go to school here and then not leave. I remember most people that I've talked to that are younger, they can't wait to leave Tucson. And that's a sad state of affairs, because it's just there's no opportunity. We need to find opportunities and connect with our younger community, whether it be tech jobs, whether it be community growth, you know, in certain areas. I'm not sure what that whole picture looks like. I would want to find out from the younger generation, in addition to working wage, how can we as a city promote you staying here in Tucson?
Val Romero, independent candidate for the Ward 6 seat in the Tucson City Council. We like to take these first conversations and do kind of a high level 30,000 foot of what are the issues important to you and some thoughts. I'm looking forward to our subsequent conversations as the campaign continues on. It's a deep dive on some of these themes as you are on the trail. But for now, Val Romero, your website, where can people go to find out more about you, donate, volunteer, all that good stuff?
Yeah, val-romero.com. It's a website, and actually it's still under construction, so bear with us. Otherwise, on our Facebook page, Val Romero for City Council.
Love it. Val, thanks for making the time. Val Romero, I want people to know the name because it'll be on the ballot. It's important to you. It's important to me. Val Romero, thank you for being in studio with us. Looking forward to next conversations. And look, I think Republicans, Independents, Democrats who jump in, this is a heck of a journey. It's not one that's easy, but I thank you for doing it.
Thank you, Zach.
For stepping up. Appreciate you.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Tucson, we're going to go to our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, a few words from me, and then Edgar Ricaud is going to sing live in studio. UA alum fuses mariachi, pop, and opera to connect the dots of his upbringing. Some live music in studio. I'm looking forward to it here for the fourth segment in just a little bit. We'll be right back after bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages. The businesses and organizations that make the dream work here, we're thankful for them. Let's go visit them, hear some news, and we'll be right back here on Tipping Point, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
A Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in the Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. We are back here in the 1030 The Voice studios, halfway through this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We just said goodbye to Val Romero, an independent candidate running for Ward 6 for the Tucson City Council. He'll face one of the three Democrats running in the Democratic primary as we head towards the fall. If you missed that, you can check out the podcast. In just a few moments, and we're getting it all queued up right now, Edgar Ricaud will be in studio with us singing live a fusion of mariachi, pop, and opera, U of A alum, music of the borderlands. I'm really looking forward to that conversation. So stay tuned. We do live music probably once every 2 years on the show, and looking forward to it. So that'll be fun. During the break, just a few of my words as we transition, a couple of things I wanted to mention. During the break, you know, Val Romero and I were talking about that last question I asked: how do we keep the next generation? How do we keep the emerging Tucsonans here in their 20s, 30s, and 40s? How do we keep them in Tucson? And I've mentioned this before, but I'll keep mentioning it again. I think there's a three-part formula, all right? And this is not, you know, smarts on my end. These are other communities who've asked the question I asked Val, and who have answered it, and it comes down to affordability, opportunity, and quality of life. And to some regard, it's that simple. Affordability, opportunity, and quality of life. Can you afford to live there? Can you find the opportunity to have a job and have a career? And are the parks, roads, streets, and public safety on point? You get those things right, everything else falls into place. Whether it is social or climate issues you want to tackle, you now have the resources. Whether it is poverty, you're now creating pathways out of poverty. Whatever it is, if you can get that combination right, to me, that's the answer. Affordability, opportunity, quality of life. And I think to a large degree, these are the P's and Q's that we often get distracted from in this community. And I often want to figure out, how do I say that while still being respectful and honoring those who have jumped in, won campaigns, and are serving the city? Board of supervisors aside, who I think are paid okay, you look at our mayor and council, they're not paid a lot. It's supposed to be a half-time job. It's not a half-time job. I have human courtesy and respect for men and women of all stripes who jump in, run a race, win, and look to lead. I think it's very easy to sit behind a mic and armchair quarterback, so I try not to do that. But I think in this community, we often get distracted from the P's and Q's of affordability, opportunity, and quality of life. The magic happens when we get those things right. And so that would be my thought back to Val Romero and all candidates: affordability, opportunity, quality of life. So just a quick follow-up there. Thoroughly enjoyed that conversation. We're going to have all the candidates for the Ward 3, Ward 6, and Ward 5 races. There's three wards that are up for an election this time around. We will have them on throughout the rest of the year. The Democratic primary is going to end up in August. So August forward, we'll know who the competitors are. The other thing that I wanted to know, and I'm still looking into it, so I'm careful here, but I'm really fascinated by a new development with the Reed Park Zoo situation. We'll see how it plays out today. But basically, and I've reported on it on this show, is that the city manager's team presented a suite of, what was it, 7 or 8 options, Tom, to the community stakeholder group to say, look, here is the suite of options available to us from a range of high impact, high cost, low cost, to basically figure out what is the community compromise around the repositioning of the zoo expansion to not make it at Barnum Hill. And we've gotten to a point where we have two options that have been discussed that do not impact Barnum Hill. So we can check that box. The city manager is going to present his ideal version, his ideal plan D to mayor and council. The new twist that's come up is a couple of neighbors have come up with what they call a G minor plan, which is their adaptation of one of the more expensive options. Now, I know one of the individuals involved with this, super smart guy, I have a huge, tremendous amount of respect, but it sounds like, and I got an email about this a few days ago asking if my neighborhood would support, but just 3 or 4 days ago, and my response had to be, there's just not enough time to have conversation around this, to manage it, to vet it with neighbors, be able to say, look, I can put my neighborhood stamp behind this and say to mayor and council, we want this. Just wasn't enough time. It's a last minute effort. It's going to be on study session today. It's going to be discussed, and I don't know all the details and how it got there, but I think it's a very interesting scenario where you can enter into a process where there has been a monetary loss by pausing the process, a 45-day lag, 30 hours of community input led by facilitators, neighbors, community members, city staff, to get to a point that has been commissioned by the mayor and council to come today and present, here is what we found out, here's the end result. And at the last minute, you can still have an entry into that process. I'm a process guy as much as I am a public input guy. I think we've got to be careful, just at large. I felt this way before. I think we got to be careful going forward what precedents we're setting in terms of how our processes create a result. You start toying with that process and you start opening the doors to different and unique ways of adding into that process, you're setting the stage, I think, in this community for some very gnarly issues. And I think we have to balance public input with an effective process where all stakeholders are getting a fair shake. And I mean that when I say all stakeholders are getting a fair shake. So I mean, I'm curious how this is going to play out. I'll be monitoring it today. The mayor and council study session is it's a huge one today in my mind. Whether it's dealing with public safety, compensation, budgets, Reed Park Zoo, economic development, it's chock full today. You can watch it on YouTube, track the agenda online. So. Some thoughts there. All right. The moment I've been waiting for. We're going to go to our final break of the hour. Live music ahead. Edgar Ricaud, a fusion of mariachi, pop, and opera. He'll be singing live in studio just around the corner. Join us here on 1030 The Voice. We'll be right back.
From Oro Valley to Vail and everywhere in between, 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in the Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson. Welcome on back in. You and I are joined now in studio by Edgar Ricaud. Good to see you, sir. Thanks for being in studio. We'll get you a little closer to that mic so we can make sure to hear you. But I'm intrigued by this. I want to start with your story, and then we'll hear the music that has related. But when I read this, I wanted to talk with you. We've been trying to set this up for a little bit. University of Arizona alum fuses mariachi, pop, and opera to connect the dots of his upbringing.
Yes.
How the heck did we get here? Who is Edgar? You're back in the region now. Give us your story and how you're fusing this, and then we'll listen to a piece.
Great, sure. Well, thank you for having me. That first of all, I want to thank you and give me the time and everything to talk a little bit about the album. So basically, I did my bachelor's degree here at University of Arizona. Focus on opera or classical singing, training. But when I start singing, when I was 12 years old, I used to sing, these tunes that I now in this album come back, and bring it, like mariachi, boleros, all that romantic Spanish, beautiful tunes. And so when I was doing my master's degree at Roosevelt University in Chicago, I got a lot of opportunities to perform in singing more Spanish, than the opera style. So basically, I was interested, in returning on these roots and bringing and recording an album that I always dream about, I wish I could, record this album. And due to this pandemic, COVID-19 and everything, we have the time and the opportunity to, start working on this album.
That's right. There was this piece in the Daily Star, and I love how they wrote it. I'll give them obviously the credit for it. If you are Nogales, Arizona born, Nogales, Sonora, raised tenor Edgar Ricaud, and you grew up listening to 1990s Mexican pop music, boleros and mariachi, you would probably do what he did, tell your story through the music that informed you. Was the plan to come back at Tucson, or was that a happy accident?
Well, it was... In a certain point, I think my wife and I, we want to move back, to Tucson, but I think it was earlier than we were, planning. because all the theaters and everything, well, it's closed. So it wasn't a lot of opportunities, you know. And so we said, okay, let's go back to Tucson, you know. And yeah, so we are here right now at the moment. But yeah, we have surprises, you know, that I got also accepted at Boston.
Wow.
Boston University in a diploma performance program, and we're gonna move back again, you know, okay. In August.
I love it. So I'm glad we made this conversation happen. Throughout the album, you seem to be again. I love the guy. I love the writer of this piece. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Ricard seems to be thumbing through his parents' record collection, picking out the songs that had meaning for them and him. Before we listen to you sing, sure. What is the meaning of kind of the music, you know, Chicano music, borderland music? What are we sensing out of this that you're doing?
Well, basically, you know, with the title that I have for this album is El Recuerdo, that it translates like memories.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, in this album, I wanted to make this journey, you know, to the listener, that the starting point that where I, you know, start loving music, and at the point that I am right now, I finished with the Napolitan, you know, song. Mm. That it's not a opera per se, you know, but it's obviously most of the well-known tenors have sang, you know, this piece that is, you know, Pavarotti, Giuseppe Di Stefano, all these tenors, great tenors, have made, you know, really famous, this piece. So that's what I'm trying to do with this, you know, album, bring a little bit of my story.
Yes.
That I grew up, you know, singing boleros, but also adding the technical, you know, yes, side of the opera and, you know, and all that stuff.
Edgar Ricaud in studio, classically trained vocalist, just recently with your master's degree in vocal performance from the Chicago College of Performing Arts at Roosevelt University. What we're going to hear in a minute is a combination of an operatic tenor repertoire with the mariachi and pop of your history and your parents' history. Now, Parlami is what we were going to, is what we had talked about. Just want to make sure we have the right track.
Yes.
Let's get into it here. Why don't you stand up and we'll adjust the mic. And Tom's got the track ready. And Tom, what we would love to do is you've actually have a few of your CDs here.
Yes.
That we would love to provide to our first three callers in after you're done. And so our first three callers can come and pick up a CD of yours. But enough teasing. I'd love to hear you,
totally,
Edgar
Ricaud. Totally.
So we're going to get Edgar to stand up, make sure you feel comfortable in front of the mic there.
Sure.
And give Tom a signal when you're ready to go, and we'll... Edgar is standing far from the mic. That means there's a powerful voice coming here. But all right, if you're ready, Edgar, Tom.
Let's do it. Verso il destino domani sarà. Oggi ti sono vicino perché sospiro con pensar. Parlami d'amore, Mario. Alla mia vita sei tu, gli occhi tuoi veli brillano, fiamme di sogno scintillano, dimmi che illusione è,
que soy mía. Bella e maliarda sirena sei tu, so che chi perde, chi guarda quegli occhi tuoi blu, ma che m'importa se il mondo si burla. Con te, sì, con te, parlami d'amore, aiuto, tutta la mia vita sei tu, gli occhi tuoi veli brillano, fiamme di sogno scintillano. Dimmi che illusione non è, dimmi che sei mia per me. Gli occhi tuoi veli brillano, fiammami d'amore.
Oh, man. But let's do this. If you did call in, first of all, I want to thank Tom for working the magic of balancing the track and your voice. Yes. It sounded beautiful. That was a two-hand effort.
There, I did not have any hands free for the phone.
There was no hands free. So if you're listening, there's three CDs here that could have your name on it. The first three callers in, give us a call. Tom will take down your name and number, and we'll have a CD of that entire album available for you here at the station, and you've got about 5 minutes to do it. Edgar, one of the most beautiful moments, I've been doing this for almost 4 years now, one of my favorite moments of all time.
Thank you,
Edgar.
Thank you,
that
thank
I
you.
Just I was recording you as well in studio, just your voice, and I closed my eyes after a while. I was just like, I just want to soak all this in. I saw Tom closing his eyes too. Beautiful stuff.
Thank
absolutely
you.
Incredible. How has it been received? Are you surprised by the support and people going, man, this is good stuff, Edgar
yeah.
Picaud?
Well, to be honest, people, I think, have loved this new, you know, mixture of, because the technique, you know, the opera technique, you can hear on the voice. So people, they're like loving it, you know, with this mariachi, and especially also to this piece, because they say, well, they go pretty well together, you know, the Neapolitan, they're all really passionate, you know, like the mariachi also, or the boleros. And I think all, you know, popular or folk music is really passionate. You know, that's, I think, one of the, you know, their, what they do. You know, they try to move souls, you know, people, you know, and their hearts, or talk about, you know, their feelings, or, you know, their regular, you know, in daily life, you know, situations. And tell a story like what we do, you know, also in opera. So I feel that that's the reason they go pretty well together. You know, you're still telling this story, and yeah, we are trying to basically do that, you know, through this album.
U of A alum Edgar Ricaud, El Recuerdo,
yes.
Which is your new album. You've come home to do it, Chicago trained, now heading to Boston. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
A combination of opera, mariachi, pop, boleros, just an amazing combination, and you just heard what that combination sounds like. Tom is busy on the phones. We might have one or two more of those CDs to give away. We're
sure.
giving it to the first three, a physical CD you can grab.
Yes.
Folks can also listen to it in a number of ways. How can, Edgar, how can we support you? The time is flying. I don't want to leave before asking. How can we support you? How can we pay for your stuff? How can we listen to your stuff? This is great.
Yeah. So basically now the album is also available in all the platforms, you know, like Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, Pandora. But if you want the physical album that I encourage to do it because it's really beautiful. A friend of mine helped me with the design, Andrea de la Torre. So it's really beautiful. We have it available on CDs, and by the beginning of June, we're gonna have it also on vinyls. So for all the people that love vinyls, you know, old school, or we also gonna have it available. And you can contact me either on my Instagram page and send a DM. Over there, a direct message, and also via Facebook, and also on my webpage, you can send a contact, you know, information. You can find it over there that it's my first name and last name. So it's edgarricaud.com.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. And yes, I think a lot of our listeners, Edgar, will be either excited or intrigued to find out that vinyls are, they're not just coming back, they've come back.
Yes.
Vinyls are, we millennials are making the old stuff new again and thinking
yes.
we invented it, but we won't tell anybody that secret, Edgar.
Yes.
I love it. Thank you for coming to studio and for performing one of my favorite moments in radio of all time, and I really mean that. What a beautiful way to end the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much again, Zach, for the invitation. And for giving me a little bit of time to talk about it. And I'm really excited to, you know, continue and yeah, thank you.
Edgar Recaud, great to see you. And congratulations on everything ahead.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Does it for our show today. When we come back tomorrow, our faith and culture contributor will be with us. We'll also talk to a Vail Unified School District board member. Lots of stuff going on as our schools wrap up and we figure out mask policy and all of that. You've seen it on TV. You read it in the news. We're going to have Callie Tippett, one of the board members, with us tomorrow. ASU President Michael Crow on Thursday. Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick. It's a full week. Make sure that you're hanging with us 9 o'clock every morning here for Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We'll see you tomorrow.